This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. John is with us each week towards the end of the week to offer his thoughts on some of the most important political stories of the past several days. And John, it's always great to have you with us.
It's always great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the presidential race for 2012. The big story this week seems to be the rocky rollout of the Newt Gingrich presidential campaign. His campaign would say that it's a media concoction. He's been ambushed, that the literati, as they say, has had it out for Newt, and he hasn't been able to get a fair shake. Others say he said point blank on Meet the Press that Paul Ryan's economic reform plan and Medicare reform plan were right-wing social engineering, and so he stuck his own foot in his mouth. What's your sense of it, and how will it impact his campaign in the long run?
Sometimes when one simply says, I misspoke and I'm sorry, that's enough. Newt Gingrich's problem is he's so bright and knows so much, he has to expatiate on these things and create worse problems. They metastasize. Simply put, he took a lot of flack, and I was at a meeting of Republican leaders in Dallas. Believe me, the animosity was very thick in the air for these remarks. Then when he said he did not support right-wing social engineering, but he wasn't referring to the Ryan plan, David Gregory's follow-up question was, well, why did you call Congressman Ryan to apologize? Well, he said, I just wanted to get it off the table. I mean, he is slowly digging a hole for himself on this issue. Now, is it fatal? No, I don't think so, because he's Newt Gingrich. He has a long-standing reputation for thinking out loud, and I have watched him do this, actually, and talking in very grandiose terms about things. I do believe that this will pass in a short time, and he will get his mojo back. For the meantime, it's starting off a marathon race with a limp.
Who's hurt more by their unpopular view or at least statements on health care in the past several days, Gingrich or Romney?
I have to say it's a pretty close race on that one, Greg. Mitt Romney is trying to explain why Obamacare is not the same as RomneyCare in Massachusetts, and it's just not washing with people. The president has said for so long he followed the model of the Republican governor of Massachusetts, and Mitt Romney makes a point that he believes each state has its own individual problems, and that there is no one-size-fits-all, and in his own state he had to deal with a Democratic legislature that undid several things he wanted in the plan. Now, I just took two sentences to say that. He needs to learn to say those same things in one.
John, let's move on to the current president now, and Barack Obama giving what was billed as a major speech on America's Middle East policy, ranging from what's considered the Arab Spring, these popular revolts in various Arab nations where there's already been two government changes and could potentially see more. He denounced the likes of Syria for its brutal repression of the people, but he also had some pretty harsh words for nations that have been relatively friendly to us, certainly Bahrain and to some extent Yemen. He also made some pretty strong demands of the Israelis in order to set the table for Middle East peace, namely giving back all the land that they gained as a result of the Six-Day War in 1967. First of all, this was billed as a major speech and possibly some major policy changes. Did you sense any of that in the speech?
Well, barring the fact that it undoes the Camp David Accord, which basically said there will be no state settled there without full agreement from all, and that no one should seek United Nations recognition of a separate state. No, he didn't. Unfortunately, that's one of those little twigs in the stream that changes everything. Very simply, the president is headed toward recognition or attempted recognition of a state of Palestine, the goal that has long been sought by the Palestinian leaders. That was the goal of the late Yasser Arafat, who so wanted to die as a chief of state, and which contradicts the written documents that address the situation so far. Looking at it in the long term, it is not going to help relations between the United States and the Israeli government under Prime Minister Netanyahu, and I'm not sure it's going to help keep the Jewish vote in the Democratic fold in the long run.
Netanyahu coming to town in the next couple of days will address Congress next week. What do you expect from that visit? There's certainly been good and bad Netanyahu visits in this administration.
More bad than good, to be honest with you. Netanyahu has always been more comfortable with Republicans than Democrats. Unfortunately, he has not been prime minister when there's been a Republican president. He would have gotten along very well, I believe, with George W. Bush, as Prime Minister Ariel Sharon certainly did. He did not have a good relationship with President Clinton, and his relationship with President Obama, always cool, is probably going to turn frosty after this address. It'll be fascinating to watch the Prime Minister's address to Congress. I watched him address in the House chamber in 1996 when he stuck more to domestic policy than he did on the international scene and spoke of the good relations between the United States and Israel. I saw him speak at the AIPAC meeting, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, when he said that he'd made his peace with the Oslo Accord, something he now vigorously opposes. It'll be very interesting to see what he says when he's here next week.
John, last topic. You've probably mentioned Dominique Strauss-Kahn more times on this show than anybody's mentioned him on other shows, just given our interest in French politics and the International Monetary Fund. Obviously, his life is a lot different than it was 7 days ago, accused now and actually indicted on 2 counts of violent felonies, 3 misdemeanors in connection with the allegations that he sexually assaulted a hotel maid at a luxury suite in New York over the weekend, hauled off a plane. And now, of course, he's trying to get bail, and he's had to step down as head of the IMF. What do you make of all this, not to mention the least of which are his probably now up-in-smoke presidential ambitions?
Well, all of my contacts in France say the same thing, and all of the discussion in the political class in France is what the socialists will do, since so many have banked on the IMF chief becoming their candidate against Nicolas Sarkozy. There were even T-shirts out saying, we con. I have to say now that this certainly doesn't help the momentum of a political career, and in all likelihood, he won't be a candidate for president. I don't know what went on with Dominique Strauss-Kahn and the woman in the hotel. I've covered him at the IMF for 4 years, and I would have to be tremendously naive not to know what everyone says, and that is that the managing director has a wandering eye. That's well known in France, as a matter of fact, where he's known as the great seducer. This is a little different. This is a charge of rape and attacking someone for which he was indicted this afternoon. Given our attention to the foibles and the celebrity and the rich and famous, it'll be interesting to see how this trial pans out. My heart goes out particularly to his loyal wife, Anne Sinclair, who stood by him through a lot of controversy, and like us, Greg, is an alumni of the media.
That's certainly true. And, of course, he did get his bail on Thursday, and so it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out time-wise as well. John, a very fascinating week. We'll do it again next week.
Au revoir. Until next week. A bon ami, John Gizzi.
John Gizzi of Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.